This is hello. This is Ryan. This is Ryan Sterner. I am joined by Stephen Kirsch. Say hello, yes. Stephen.
Hello, Ryan. Hello, everyone listening. Everyone.
Everyone. We've been on a brief hiatus, mostly because we forget that these Diamond League meets are going on. But
there was quite a big break, though.
Yeah, but also, let's be honest. London and Birmingham don't really seem to matter that much.
Wow. I bet some people who competed at those meets would have something to say to you, Ryan.
Well, at me.
Yeah, seriously, let's get him on the pod. If you competed at London or Birmingham, this is your open invitation. You can be on this podcast.
Perfect. We look forward to having you tomorrow.
Yes.
But before we go any further, I'd like to acknowledge this podcast sponsor, which is...
This week's podcast sponsor is the gas station right outside of Flagstaff. They sell clothing as well as other curios and Route 66 trinkets. Head there today and say Sidious Mag sent you, and you will get a Route 66 hat, koozie, and t-shirt for $3. That's a one-time special. They're great over there. They always know exactly what I need. If it's that big T or, you know, the other clothes that I wear, Ryan, the jeans, they have great cotton jeans. It's a good place to go shopping.
This is where Steven's Outfitter is what it's kind of known around Flagstaff.
Yep. And they were kind enough to sponsor our podcast this month.
Thank you, gas station outside of Flagstaff.
Yes.
I guess right off the top, there are a couple things that we're a little bit rusty. We haven't done this in probably a month, so forgive us.
I haven't spoken to Ryan in a month.
It's been good for our relationship.
Yeah.
But right off the bat, I'd say before we started watching, a couple events started, because the feed that we get only starts with track, which I'm sure some people have opinions about.
Mm-hmm,
but pole vault and javelin were kind of two things that kicked off before the track event started. And I think Stephen wanted to talk a little bit about the javelin.
Yeah, I mean, I was just, you know, I was thinking in my head and I was just like, is javelin objectively the coolest event at a track meet? And for me, if you can throw a projectile that potentially could inflict life ending results, that's a pretty cool thing to do.
Because the coolest things tend to be, I mean, like motorcycles dangerous. Are pretty cool. And that's the only cool thing that I can think of right now.
Yeah, well, motorcycles are the coolest thing. I mean, cigarettes, people argue, are cool.
Because I think, I this is a terribly unpopular opinion, but every time, and I'll say this to my girlfriend when I'm like out with her and there's like a cool guy like smoking a cigarette against a building.
Love that.
I'm like, I know that it's bad for you and I hate to smell it, but he looks pretty fucking cool. And then 9 times out of 10, he's gonna like put the cigarette out on his tongue and then walk over and start his hog and crash it into traffic.
And like wink at Becca or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then I don't have a girlfriend anymore.
Swoon. Yeah.
And all those things are terrible, but
they're cool though.
They're cool.
So javelin's kind of the cigarettes of the track and field world.
Yeah.
It's the cigarettes and motorcycle. I kind of do imagine those guys too, just like show up in like leather jackets and then just like toss the jackets aside, pick up this just staff and then launch it into the air. Yeah. Just like hold this.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's like, I don't know. It's pretty cool. Minimal. Well, this will be terrible to say, but like minimal effort in terms of like time, you know, in the actual event. Like it's about a 5-second sort of routine that they go through.
Well, yeah, like any of the throws, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
We're not watching how the sausage is made though, Steve.
No, exactly. And I would never ever accuse them of slacking in their training, Ryan.
No, that's a good way to get a javelin thrown at your head.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I don't know. Do you agree with me that it's the coolest event or do you disagree with me?
I would say that the danger factor for me is very compelling, as we kind of outlined. Mm-hmm. And the things that I think are perceived as more dangerous tend to be cool. I will agree that it's up there. I think in terms of the coolest events, the running events are on the bottom half. They're in like the lower percentile of the cool factor. Yeah. And for the most part, the field events are like high jump. I actually might think the high jump is the coolest event.
You know what I was just thinking too, though? Like pole vault has to be the most dangerous. Like javelin isn't really that, it can be dangerous, but they do
Okay. Well, how many people have been speared by javelins?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure they have. But like, come on, pole vault, they're like, that's crazy.
Yeah. I was going to say the reason that I like pole vault is because they can start, so they have 20 feet mm-hmm. to celebrate, like yeah, in the yeah. air.
That is always very nice. I just like, I recently saw that video of that Mondo Duplantis, like doing that big ass jump or vault at the Euros, and just, it's incredible.
Yeah.
Just how, you know, it, like the stick is literally at its vertical peak and then he pushes himself off of it.
Yeah.
It's just, it's unreal, man.
You know how much core strength that takes?
More than we have combined. Yeah.
I remember in very early high school, when I hadn't really found my way on the track team yet, they were like, why don't you try the pole vault?
For pole vault.
And I never did it in a meet because we went into the weight room the first and last time that I probably went into the weight room. And the pole vault coach was like, all right, get onto that pull-up bar and do this. And he like pulled himself up, but then he basically did the vaulting motion where he swung his legs under him and then like proceeded to do a leg lift to the point where his feet were basically touching the ceiling.
Oh my God.
I remember just turning around and walking out. And I'm like, yeah. I'll never be able to do that. Yeah, you got the wrong guy.
Well, you probably made a good decision because that's a dangerous and cool sport.
Yeah, and I like to avoid danger, and let's face it, not that cool.
Yeah, it's fine.
Speaking of pole vault,
yep.
The one thing that I picked up on watching the broadcast is one of the announcers made a comment about Sandy Morris, mm-hmm. That she's an avid reptile collector, which I think probably goes along with the narrative of...
What narrative?
Of cool that we were just talking about. Not that I
collecting
the thing
reptiles.
Is like, I don't think that that's cool.
Well, there's
it's
like a line. No, because it can be done. There are definitely cool people with reptiles, and then there's not cool people with reptiles, and like it's the way in which you're doing your collecting. I think.
What if she's going down to the local boardwalk and she's got like a boa constrictor around her neck?
See, that to me is cool versus I don't know, actually maybe it's all not that cool.
There's something just kind of gross about it.
Yeah,
not to say that Sandy's gross, I'm sure she's a terribly lovely woman.
She seems great.
Yeah, and I don't know, I just wanted to bring that up, that there's somebody in the elite world of track and field that's having somebody like, hey, I've got to go to Zurich next week, would you mind going over and feeding the python a couple of rats while I'm gone? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway,
worth noting she got second to Olympic champ or Katerina Stefanidida.
Yeah. So, great, a nice little head-to-head there.
Yeah, it looked like they're having fun out there, cheering each
other
on.
You love it when they're having fun.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, it's not about being cool, it's about having fun. And
exactly.
Your mom's told you that a million times, and it's true even on the Diamond League circuit.
Kids, once you get as old as Steven and I, you'll figure out that most of life is just about trying to have as much fun as you can. It's not about being cool.
No, it's not. All right, moving on. Let's talk about running, Ryan.
That's yes, please. So I know that previously we've been doing a top five mostly for sake of time, but since we haven't done one of these in a while, and since this is day one of the 2-day kind of Diamond League Championships, we're just going to kind of run down the events. So
hold on, can we just talk about, is it kind of weird that I don't know, this just seems like it excludes people from doing multiple events. Why wouldn't they just do the championship in one place over 2 days?
That's a good question. I'm
sure there's a ton of bureaucracy involved about, like, you know, that Zurich and Brussels both needed a meet or something.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It just seems strange to me. It'd be really cool if it was like a 2-day Diamond League final in Brussels. I don't know.
And someone got to host it, right? Not just like split it. No, I agree. If anybody knows why,
tell us.
Tell us. Come on the podcast tomorrow. Cool. First event, men's 400 meter.
87 this year, and it looks like that's about a half second faster than anyone else. So, yes, he is a world number one.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's really quick.
And I think – I don't really know how the selection – I mean, I know that they kind of fill these events out just based on Diamond League points, but it's kind of interesting that you wouldn't really want to go here, like run in this meet, because just according to the announcers and just kind of looking at the list, like you've got a couple of people here. Like one of the guy that got last, he's a Russian athlete, but he hadn't broken –
he's not
45-4.
South African.
I'm sorry. The Republic of South Africa.
Yeah.
RSA.
Look at the flag.
And they were saying that they had to go pretty far down the list to kind of fill out the roster, which is
and
nice
why is
because
that?
Maybe the people, maybe that they were going to run a different event in Brussels and they couldn't be, or maybe they just didn't want to do it. But
You
have the chance at a $50,000 payday. It just kind of seems silly.
That's another thing we should probably talk about is everyone who won an event collected $50,000, right?
Yeah. I'd be pretty stoked if I
got
$50,000.
What was second place? Do you know?
It's probably like a novelty mug.
Yeah, seriously. A gift certificate to the gas station outside Flagstaff.
Yeah, so I know. So the thing, it's nice that some of these other people get a chance because I know this Nathan Struthers guy.
Mm-hmm.
They said that he had one Diamond League point before running in this race today.
Well, he got a bunch.
Yeah, which means he got last in a Diamond League race sometime this year, and he got second. And I imagine that he got a pretty nice payday for getting second.
So good on you, Nathan.
Nice work. Moving on.
Moving on. Women's 800. The caster show continues.
Yeah, it was she showed him who's boss.
She did. She did. She looked great. Just so strong.
Yeah. I mean, she was still putting distance on the field with like 200 to go.
Totally. Yeah. I was surprised that a fan favorite, Francine Niansaba, faded to like sixth, I think. And she was, I think on the backstretch, it looked like she was moving up pretty well. So that you know, that was too bad to see. But she still, I think she still went under two, 159.1.
Yeah.
Always a great accomplishment.
But
Ryan.
I did afterwards see that she was like on the track getting her like calf rubbed out by one of the people on the medical staff. So I don't know if... maybe there was some cramping.
Something to do with it, yeah. But Aja Wilson, you know, bridesmaid to Caster once again seems to be a theme here, Ryan.
Yes.
Do you think that's frustrating?
I would imagine it's pretty frustrating.
Yeah.
But
then at the same time, do you think like, I don't know if Aja would be running as fast as she's running without someone like that.
Ooh, the rising tides.
Yeah, you know.
The high tides.
The boats.
Raise all.
Boats are being raised. and, you know, like, so I know there's a ton of controversy about Caster, you know, which is, you know, unfortunate, but that's just what there is in this day and age. And, but if
well,
you look at it from from a positive way,
right.
She's forcing these ladies to run faster.
Yeah, I mean, you don't really hear, and not that track athletes are the most outspoken to begin with, but you don't really hear the women
mm-hmm.
that race against Caster speaking out on
totally.
This issue. So yeah. I don't really think that, I mean, I'm sure, like you said, that they probably, they're happy to be not losing to her, but being able to race against this kind of talent.
You're and, always you know. Happy when you can race against the best people in the world and especially the best people in, you know, your generation.
Yeah.
That's exactly. Pretty special.
Caster is pretty special. Well, it would be interesting to kind of see. I imagine this is probably one of her last track meets of the season. So we'll see what next year has in store for her. Be interesting to see how that plays out.
Nice little cliffhanger there.
Now for the first event that was kind of truly bonkers.
This was your favorite race of the day, I assume. for all the high drinks.
I think it's probably everybody's favorite race of the day, right? Why don't you tell them what happened? What did you see?
Well, you know.
Did we already say, for those?
First of all, it was the Minsk 3,000 meter steeplechase. Yep. You know, Ryan slacked me before this. He said, do you think Evan breaks 8? And I said, absolutely not. So let that be written that, of course, I was right.
Good call.
Thank you. Did you think that they were going to run that fast?
I mean, you hope. I don't know.
Just assume if there's $50,000 on the line, no one's going to be doing that.
That's true. But, like, again, how many more meets is Evan going to run this year?
Or even have the opportunity the rest of his career, you know?
Yeah, right? Yeah, like, you're not getting any younger.
You heard it here first. Ageism. But yeah, this race was really cool. Kansellis Kipruto, reigning Olympic and world champion, I think, lost his shoe in the first, after the first lap or right before the first lap.
Yeah,
in the midst of the first lap, kicked it off, and then was doing the shoeless Kansellis Kipruto show for the rest of the thing. It looked like he was fading at some points, and El Bakkali was really starting to push the pace. And then, he ended up winning, and it was just an incredible last, I don't know, probably 150 off that last water barrier.
Yeah.
Just seeing him move without that shoe on, I would just imagine that had to have hurt.
I don't like to throw it around because it's sometimes, I think, pretty lame when people say it, but you could kind of see there was a point where he made one move coming out of that last water. Kipruto made one move coming out of that last water barrier, and El Bakkali covered it. And then Kipruto one more time, like, went for it.
Yeah.
And took him at the line by what, like,
fractions
of a second.
Yeah, totally.
I guess it should be noted that Bakkali is the only guy in the field with a PR under 8 minutes.
Oof.
And I think he's the only one. He's world number one. I think he's the only one this season.
Yeah.
That's done it. And he also, in the second to last lap, got tripped up by, I mean, there was like 4 or 5 people around him. And still had the wherewithal to turn around and look at the guy that he thought was the offender.
And bark.
And just, it looked like he was barking.
Yeah.
Which I appreciate.
It's also worth pointing out that Evan he was in the lead at the bell lap. After the Bakkali incident, I think he kind of took the lead. But you could just tell he didn't quite have the juice that those guys did over the last 200. I mean, they were moving. I think Evan faded to probably fourth. Let's see.
Third.
No, third. Good for him. 8:13.
I'm sure he's going to get some money out of that.
Do you think, like, you see this a lot when people, like, fall in a race, you know, and then their adrenaline gets pumped up, they reconnect with the group and then end up winning, stuff like that. You know, Kinsella was a favorite anyways in this race, but do you think that the shoe coming off kind of just changed the race for him, his mentality?
And, that's interesting.
Yeah. Like, almost like, I have nothing to lose now. Like, I can literally stop off at any point.
And I have an excuse.
Yeah, I have an excuse. My shoe came off. So why not just, like, go for it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That's I've never been put in a situation. You know, I'm sure it depends on the athlete. And
yeah.
I guess with an athlete like him who has been phenomenal his whole career. Not whole career, but at least recently that he was probably the kind that was like, yeah, I guess I'm going to go for it.
I'll be all right.
Yeah.
You know, that's how the champions face the adversity, Ryan.
And that's a lesson out there for all you kids.
We should probably turn each race into a lesson.
Yes. The moral of that one is you're never really out of it.
Yeah.
It's a mind game.
Face adversity with your chin up and you might come out on top.
Yep.
Women's 100.
This was kind of whatever. right? I don't know. It's,
are you not a fan of the 100?
The 100, no. I'm more, yeah. Like, in terms of sprints, yeah. I think the 200 is more interesting.
The 200 is pretty cool.
I guess, I don't know. Talu, I imagine, was probably the favorite here.
She was.
And then her teammate, Marielle Ohure, stole it from her. Stole the show, really.
Stole it. She does have the fastest PB.
Yes, yes. Let it yes, be written. She does. Let yeah. it be written.
And actually, the lady that got DQ'd, Blessing Oka Bare Ego Turuganor.
That's a new hyphen, I think. A relatively new hyphen.
I thought it was too, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good for her. Well, congratulations on your nuptials.
Yeah. She got DQ'd and wasn't able to run, but it looks like her season best is the same as Muriel, and her personal best is only 0.01 seconds slower, so she would have been a contender.
Right. She got it was a false start, and the announcers seem to think that maybe the officials would have been a little more lenient with her, because it was kind of funny. They were saying, like, I swear I heard a child coughing
oh my god
somewhere in the crowd and that could have set them off. So I mean, it's too bad. You yeah. always I generally don't know how I feel about the whole false start thing. I feel like you should get a couple chances.
It seems like sometimes they do, right?
Are you you're against it?
I don't know. I think everyone should always have second chances in life, Ryan.
There you go. And that's the moral of the women's 100 meter. Is
you should
that
always have a demand second chances.
Yes, absolutely. All right, moving on to the...
1500?
Yeah, another one that I thought was pretty ho-hum.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. It's just... Yeah, I guess it wasn't that fantastic.
Well, what did you like about it? Well, first of all, let's say that Timothy Chariot won in a time of 3:30, very fast, edging out Menangoy.
His training partner, Menangoy, yeah, and Suleiman was third.
Love that guy.
Suleiman?
Yeah.
Ugh, why?
He just seems like a maniac. He looks like a maniac. He's got the craziest
look in his eye. I can't
get behind
anyone that's associated with Jama, so...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I mean, I get that's fair.
Yeah. He probably has that crazy look because he's just juiced to the gills.
Yeah.
Ingebrigtsen was seventh. Philip, not Jacob or Henrik.
Yeah, what's the deal with that?
I don't know. He was in the mix for a while. I mean, it's hard to close in 54 seconds, probably. So I don't blame him. He closed in 58, it looks like, which isn't great. But, you know, I don't know. I guess it wasn't that great. It wasn't that interesting of a field. Obviously, Chariot and Menangoy and Iguidier are both like always like some of the best in the world. But it would have been fun to see in, like, the youngest Ingebrigtsen in there, maybe Centro, you know.
Yeah.
Some other dudes. Nick Willis, just for old time's sake, see what he could do in there. But
yeah, give him a shot.
So it goes. This is what we had. And I don't know. It's always fun watching Chariot and Menangoy run. They're just so damn consistent and fast.
Right.
So I enjoyed the race, but I'm also a sucker for the 1500, I guess.
That's fair.
To me, it's the sexiest race.
The sexiest race. And the lesson, the moral of that one is take what you can get. The grass isn't always greener, you know?
Yes, totally.
All right, women's 400 meter hurdle. This was just an American showdown.
US 1-2.
And Delilah Muhammad just took him to the woodshed.
I was pretty impressed by Shamir Little, just because in the other races we had watched of her this year, it didn't ever seem like she was that competitive. She was always getting... Yeah, I don't know, fifth or sixth, it seemed like. So this was cool. She's a friend of Sidious Mag, so always good to see our people do well.
Doesn't she? She's got to be up there on the world list.
In terms of times?
Yeah.
For the year? Or
yeah.
53.32. Yeah, I mean, she has the fastest season's best in the... in this field, but then the world lead was Sydney McLaughlin at 52.75. That's nuts. I forgot she was around. What's she doing?
I don't know. Going to summer school, waiting for her sophomore year of college to start.
No, she went pro.
Yeah, she's pro, but she's probably still going to school.
Oh, she does not need to do that.
That was very motherly. Like, oh, honey, you do not need to be in school right now.
Please, Sydney, you don't need to do that.
This is Steven, your manager, talking. Why don't you give why don't you tell Sydney something she doesn't know? Sign that contract and drop out.
Moral of the story, if you ever get make a lot of money, you don't need to go to school.
And that's why a lot of people, not a lot, I'd like to see some percentages on what I'm about to say, why a lot of people with money eventually go bankrupt.
Wow. Because they don't know how to handle fiscal responsibility.
Because they're dumb.
That's what you'll learn in undergrad.
Yep. All right. Men's 200 meter hurdle. No, men's 200 meter hurdles.
200, oof, that would be crazy. This was a fantastic race.
Yes.
Noah Lyles, 19.67. He just turns on some after boosters on that last 80 meters. That was insane. He puts so much space on everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. He's,
I didn't realize he was as good as he was.
This year didn't really make you.
Well, no, I guess until like, you know, middle half of this year, I was like, oh wow, this kid is just probably the future of the sport. Like, he's running what I think people were comparing him to none other than Usain Bolt, Ryan.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say this year has been really interesting for him, I think, because I think everybody, obviously running 19.67 is super fast. And I think, at least for me, I was waiting to see him go like 19.5, something like that. Like something that really,
just stood out.
Right. But this year, as somebody tweeted, I saw an interesting tweet. He's gone 19.69, 19.69, 19.65, and 19.67.
It's consistency.
And so it's consistency, and it's phenomenal. And he's 21 years old. One of the funny things that I keep hearing a lot of people talk about, like a lot of the announcers and stuff like that, they talk about how small he is.
Yeah.
Like, I've stood next to the kid.
Is he bigger than you?
He's 6 feet tall.
But these sprinters are massive, probably.
Well, no, I mean, like, Usain Bolt is massive. But, like, how tall do you think Walter Dix is?
Oh, 4'11".
Right. And I think that like, Otto Bolden, how tall do you think he is?
4'10".
Right. So, all I'm saying is, like, historically, sprinters are not that large. And also, like, he's above average. Give the guy some credit. 5'11", 6 foot, big boy.
He just looks good when he runs, Ryan. All right. That other guy, Guliev, doesn't look great.
No, he looks like he's trying really hard.
Yeah, Noah doesn't seem like he's even trying. So you know what, Noah?
No.
Try. Speaking of trying, Ryan, what do you think you could run 200 meters in?
Well, when we were together the other day and we had that foot race.
We had a foot race at the end of about a 5 mile run. Ryan said, you know, Steven, you know how I knew I was going to break 60 in Des Moines when they made me?
Oh, no. Wait a minute. This might give away. Okay, whatever. Go ahead. Tell the story.
Ryan trained a little bit and he would run a couple 200s every now and then. And he said he would run them around like 31, 32 seconds and feel pretty good. So I gave him all the confidence he needed to go sub 60. So I said, Ryan, when this 200 comes up on our run, it was literally from like a garbage can in Koreatown to like a pushed over dumpster or something.
Whoa.
And so we started to race and immediately I fell behind Ryan and I had no intention on losing, even though you're probably faster than me. So I resorted to what everyone does when they want to do something, but it seems like it's slipping away. And I cheated and I grabbed a hold of you and I used you as a propellant and I won the race.
You won the race. We ran around 27 seconds.
Yep.
And
terrifyingly hard.
Yeah. Afterwards, I herniated a disc in my back for sure. I limped home. And so that's the answer. 27 seconds is probably the fastest that you can get me to
move. I'm 28, but if I have a human powered element to it, or like, you know, if I have someone that I can thrust off of, I can go 27 as well.
And isn't that crazy that you would lose this race by nearly 10 seconds?
I know. I know. It would be insane.
Like, but you, somebody would finish this, and then someone would shoot a gun, and Usain Bolt would pass you running 100 meters before you finished running the 200.
Yeah, that's fine, though. I'm okay with that.
Hey, and that's the moral of the men's 200 meter is be okay, with what you got.
Okay with what you got. Women's 5K? Shall we dive into that?
Yeah, let's get into the weeds here.
I mean,
who are these women?
Well, who are they?
Well, because I feel like Sifan Hassan.
Yep, you obviously know who that is.
She's got, there's a bit of, it's a bit murky, maybe?
Is it? I've never heard anything other than now, obviously she's associated with a murky group of people.
Right.
But before that, I had never heard any of those rumors, but okay. I wouldn't doubt that they existed. Helen Obiri is the Olympic champ in the 5K.
Sure.
She's fantastic. And then obviously you have Ginzebe Dibaba, who
did not look great today.
Well, no, because she's obviously off the stuff. When she was running 14:15, she would have made this look incredibly easy, I think.
Well, how old is she?
I don't know. She's probably like 29.
Well, yeah, no, she's like 20. Her birthday was August 2nd.
Oh.
Nope, this is probably written in the European format. Her birthday was in February.
Okay. What year?
1991.
Okay, so she's 27.
Yep.
Yeah, so, it was, I don't know, there's always a piece of me that's like, hell yeah, whenever she doesn't run well, because you don't like seeing people that are probably doing something wrong run well, Ryan.
Still ran 14:50.
Yeah,
pretty good. That won't get you the check.
Yeah, but anyways, so Sifan Hassan and Helen Obiri, it was really down to them with about, Helen Obiri made an incredible move at 2:50.
Yep.
She just took off, and I didn't think she was going to be able to hold on to that. And she did. It looked like she probably closed in like a 26 or 27 for the last two. And Hassan was definitely coming up on her. But they both ended up running 14:38. Obiri barely squeaked by. But Hassan is going to run the 1500 tomorrow in Brussels. And everyone's making this big deal about a seven-hour car ride that she's about to take on tired legs. So, Ryan, do you think you would be okay if you had a seven-hour car ride between two championship races?
Well, so what time is it in Zurich right now?
I'm going to go with 10 p.m. or almost 11.
Right. So what time did she finish? She finished probably close to...
An hour ago.
Maybe a little more.
So they're going to like drive through the night?
Right. But she, that like, sucks. Okay, it's like, she's one of the best athletes in the world. She's sponsored by Nike or Adidas?
Nike,
I'm sorry. Nike, they're not going to get this woman like a Geo Sport, you know, where she's going to have to, like, sit cramped in the back seat. It's probably going to be
she'll
one
be
of those
in a van
big,
or something.
Yeah, like one of those sprinter vans.
Yeah.
And she'll be able to sprawl out. It sucks, but like, I don't know. Then you're probably going to race at like 6 or 7 o'clock at night.
It'll be interesting to see how she does, I guess.
I think you'll be all right. But also, what is there? There's no flights?
There's not a train? A sleeper car? Come on. That's insane.
Yeah.
You know
it's
what it
Europe.
Is?
I don't believe that.
I have a pretty nefarious idea here.
Give it to me.
They probably want her in her own place so she can be hooked up to some sort of IV recovery drip that Alberto is like looking over and making sure she's getting, you know, nice and loaded before this final.
Oh my God. Nice and loaded. Alberto's got one knee on the steering wheel.
Oh,
he's like in the
God.
Back seat.
Please consider cutting that.
I don't know. I thought it was really funny. That might play really well to our audience.
Yeah, I don't know.
But we could be blacklisted, and you know. So maybe that's the moral of this one, is that don't say stuff that could ruin your career.
That's true.
But
you know what they say, if you don't stand for anything, you'll fall for everything.
Oh, God.
Men's 400, your favorite event, usually.
The 400 hurdles. Yeah. I was bummed about it, though, because...
Ugh. Our dear friend Samba.
Yeah. I love that man. And this was his race, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
He would have won. Yep. But I would have settled for Carsten Warholm to win this one. And he tried his hardest.
He always does seem to try his hardest. I just think he needs to just reconsider maybe not going out as hard.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't seem to go that great for him ever.
Yeah.
But he and Kieran McMaster, who is probably like the world number two or something like that.
Probably yeah, two or three. It was probably him, Warholm, and McMaster, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he edged him out by 0.02 seconds. So, yeah, I mean, it was just a good race.
Yeah.
Pretty straightforward, nothing terribly interesting. And that's that. That was the event. I should say that I saw Carsten Warholm get carted into the event. Like he was in some like a Mercedes or something like that, like sitting on the roof,
God.
Like waving to the crowd.
I don't know about that.
The car was driving on the track.
Really? Did you see those little tiny like trucks that were picking up something on the infield? It was so cool.
Was it like the shot puts maybe?
Well, I don't know because it was when they were doing javelin.
Oh, it was probably the javelins then.
But the trucks were so small. I don't know how they...
They just put them on top. I've seen that before.
Really?
Yeah.
It's very fun. I'd like to be in control of that one day.
You know what else I think you would really like to be in control of? Is did you
a
see
a lot of things?
Steven's in charge.
Yeah. Steven's big day.
You know, they didn't have like a camera on the infield like they normally do at some of these things.
Yeah.
They had somebody on a Segway scooter, and the camera was on like a what are those things? Just
a dolly?
No, the thing that you have.
A gimbal.
I'm sorry. The camera was on a gimbal, but a very large gimbal. And it wasn't like one of those three-wheeled Segways that you kind of see like mall cops have now or like people patrolling parking lots. It was legit, just like you got to balance and hold on to with your other hand to this fucking camera.
Jesus.
As you just scoot by these people while they're running.
That sounds terrifying.
Incredibly
dangerous. I don't know if I'd like to be in charge of that.
Yeah.
What would you most like to be? No, I'm just kidding. That was just going to be going down a rabbit hole.
What were you
going
to say? Let's spend 2 minutes on it.
What would you most like to be in charge of?
In the world.
The world.
Well, would it be like, are you saying like, would I like to be president? Like, are you saying that?
Hey, man.
I should, I like, this is like a magic.
Answering this question.
That's fair. If I could be in charge of anything, that's too hard, and it gets a little philosophical, and I'm not looking to be sincere.
Yeah, no, of
right
course.
Now. That's a question for I don't know the next
I think
time.
I'd like to be in charge of like the ratio of like starbursts and packages.
You want to change the ratio instead of like 1-to-1 all the colors.
I think for like my enemies, if I knew that they liked a certain flavor, I would make sure they never received it in their life.
What do you think the breakdown is of percentage of preference? Like what percentage of people would be okay with 15 yellow starbursts in a package?
I think fairly small. I think the go-to flavor is usually, isn't it going to be red, or I'm a sucker for pink?
I'm a red man.
Yeah. When is the last time you had a Starburst?
I'll tell you, Steven, it was last week because
no way.
My girlfriend was out of town and I
just fucking ate Starburst.
Yeah, I went to and like nobody else was home. For like all my friends were out of town. And so what I did was I went to the gas station because nobody wanted to hang out with me. And I bought a tall boy of PBR and a package of Starburst. And I watched television.
Was that for dinner?
No, that was this was at like 10 o'clock at night. I had submitted to not doing anything for the evening. And so I was like,
that's kind of your packing it in move.
Yeah, I'm gonna make a party myself. Yeah. Like if somebody had hit me up,
Flavortown, USA, right there.
If somebody had texted me after I had sat back down on the couch after opening the tall boy and getting the Starburst, like, nah, dog, I'm busy.
Yeah, I got shit to do.
Yeah.
I actually wanted to ask you this question. This was posed in our Jacuzzi Boys Athletic Club email chain yesterday.
Love it.
Okay, this was probably the deepest. People got really heated over this, and I think everyone responded. So there was like 60 or 70 emails yesterday. And then, oh, I'll get to the last part after this. But anyways, would you rather live in Florida and you could live anywhere in Florida or be randomly assigned to any other state?
Oh, well, I think the common perception of Florida is that it's just like swamps, alligators, and trailer parks.
Yep.
And like gross white trash.
Yeah.
But what about Miami?
I mean, if you want to live in Miami, that's fine. I've never been.
Yeah, but then don't you think there's so much of America that's kind of a crapshoot?
Yeah, but like, I don't know, man. It just, and like, you're going to be underwater too. Like, isn't Miami going to sink soon?
I mean, I live in Los Angeles. I'm one earthquake away from the roof crushing me in my sleep.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I said any other state, which seemed to be the popular opinion until some people from Florida got on the thread and were kind of explaining the benefits of actually living in Florida and some nice places, which I'm sure there are. I'm sure there's lovely places in Florida. But I don't know, man. Like for me, the flat lands and the weather, I don't think the weather would be that different anywhere. I couldn't do it. I can't do that.
What do they say? It's like a bird in the hand, right? Yep. So I think you're kind of holding out with the assumption that like, oh, please, like fingers crossed for like
Idaho,
Missoula, Montana or something like that. But what's going to happen is they're going to put you out in somewhere in Nebraska.
Yep. Orbiting did a random Excel generator and then gave people their choice.
What did you get?
I ended up, I think, in Mississippi.
See?
Yeah, I know.
There's
Sarah
nothing.
Sarah ended up in West Virginia. Paul ended up in Colorado, which is ironic because I assume Paul would hate Colorado.
Yeah, I'm positive he would.
Yeah. But yeah, so yeah, I don't know.
I would take it.
You would have taken Florida?
I would live in Miami for sure.
For sure. Have you been there, Ryan?
No, but it's got the reputation. Okay, so you know what I'm basing this off of completely is I think that there are a couple of cities in the NBA where they say, where the announcers will always say like, oh, they must have gotten in early yesterday because they're all looking a little sluggish. The assumption being that they all went out and partied the night before.
Yeah, yeah.
And you just don't get that. It's not like when they go to Oklahoma City or anything like that. It's like, ugh, the nightlife. You know, and you're right by the beach, and it's like it's a big city, so I'm sure that there's like the kind of food that I would enjoy. And like for you, I imagine the bigger the city and the more cosmopolitan the city, and I think Miami has that reputation, the higher the likelihood is that there would be a Whole Foods for you to just hole up in.
Have some salad every day.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
You like Mexican food?
Oh, I imagine I love Cuban food.
Yeah, exactly. You like the cuisine.
Yeah, all right.
Come on.
Sign me up.
You've done it.
All right.
Take the sure thing.
Florida,
the sure thing.
Go visit the Koch brothers.
Yeah. No, they're from Kansas.
Oh, but I think they have something in Florida.
Yeah, probably like an underground bunker where they're hoarding sex slaves.
I've seen that bunker.
Well, we've just wasted. It was a 35-minute podcast, and it was about 10 minutes of bullshit. So, if you've made it to the end,
sorry about that.
Congratulations.
Sorry for being a little rusty today, folks. We promise tomorrow might be better.
No guarantees.
But that was a big meat pod, and I'm Steven.
And I'm Ryan.
And we'll talk to you tomorrow. We'll talk at you tomorrow.
There we go.